Today's Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Ches. And we begin with the brand new perek, the 23rd perek of Shabbos, with the words Shoel Odom Echavero. We are learning the Shia today, Li'ili Nishmas, Meir Markowitz, Meir Ben Shmuel, all the Neshamas we've learned for should have an Aliyah. So we begin the new perek. Mishnah starts off and says, Shoel Odom Echavero, Kade Yayin Mekade Shem. And a person is allowed to borrow barrels of wine or barrels of oil from his friend on Shabbos. Ubuvad, however, he has to be careful. Shlo yomar lo halveni. He should use the word shoel rather than the word halveni. What's the difference between these two? So Rashi says the Gemara is going to tell us that halveni mashma lizman meruba. A lashon of halveni, to give me a loan, is something that implies for at least a 30-day period of time. And therefore, such a loan, a milveh, osi milveh zeh lichtov al pinkoso, kach v'kach hilvesi, kidei shelo yishkach. People tend to write down hilvesis, milvas, and therefore, there's a chance that if you use this lashon of hilvesi, please lend me a jug or a barrel of wine or of oil, the person may come to write it down. As opposed to she'ela, which is something that is for a short period of time, and people tend not to write that down. Tosus has a different understanding, and Tosus at the conclusion of the top Tosus Shaul says, V'ri pirish, the Ri says, Haynu taima b'she'ela. Why do we specifically allow the word she'ela, but we don't allow the word halva? In English, we don't make you lend me. It's the same lashon, but in Hebrew, there's a difference between shoel and halva. So the Ri is mafarish. The haynu taima b'she'ela. Why can we allow the word she'ela but not halva? Lefishi chozeres be'en. And therefore, lo asu lemichtav. When you use the terminology of shoel, can I borrow? It usually implies that you're going to return that item back. And therefore, the people don't write it down. Avaloshin halva eino chozer be'en. You don't normally return that exact item back. Now, that sounds like it's a very good idea. The practice is, however, doesn't fit in. When you're borrowing a barrel of wine or a jug of wine or oil, so you're not giving back that same oil. So Tosa says, when you go and borrow a kad, a jug of wine or a jug of oil, lo hadre be'en, you don't give him back that same wine, that same oil. Nevertheless, mikomokom mitok shemaskilo loshen she'ela, since they're using this language of she'ela, zocharu v'lo osi lemichtav. By definition, you're going to not write it down because you're using this lashon of she'ela specifically. He brings this down from the Rabbeinu Porus and from his Rebbe. Okay, so in any event, let's start again. Shoel odem echavero kadei yayin v'kadei shemen. You're allowed to go and borrow on Shabbos these jugs, kadei yayin or kadei shemen. However, uvavad shelo yomar lo halveni. But don't use this language of halveni. Instead, say shoel. Likewise, zchena isha mechaverta kikaros. Likewise, a woman is allowed to borrow from her neighbor loaves of bread, kikaros. Same thing. That is allowed, not a problem. What happens if the person is not 100% sure that you're going to pay them back? The main of Mamino, if the person that you're asking to borrow from says, listen, I need a little bit more proof. I would normally write this down, but I can't. It's Shabbos. So what can you do? Meniach taliso etzlo. There's a lot to take a collateral. The person who's borrowing says, okay, listen, you lend me the wine or the oil, and here's my garment. Meniach taliso etzlo. You can have my cloak. You can have my garment, and this will be the collateral. This will remind us that I owe you the money or the item back. No, after Shabbos, they have this reminder, then they can make all the deals that they need to, they can write it down, they can say how much is he has to return, etc. Likewise, the same halacha applies to Chen Erev Pesach, Yerushalayim, Shecholios B'Shabbos. Everybody would go up to Yerushalayim to bring the carbon Pesach, and when you have the unique situation of Erev Pesach, Shecholios B'Shabbos, you have to show, I think that's going to be this year. It's an unusual situation, only comes up every now and then. So there are a lot of different laws that apply. So specifically for the carbon Pesach, you're now shechting the carbon Pesach on Shabbos. Erev Pesach, that is, on Shabbos, so the carbon Pesach is shechted on Yudal in the afternoon, it's eaten, Tezvav, which is Saturday night, at the Seder. But you shecht it on Shabbos. So people have to go and be included in your Korban Pesach. You can't just invite somebody after the Korban Pesach has been shechted to come and join you. They have to be included in those people that are nismane, they're appointed to be part of that Korban Pesach. So what happens if a person didn't make these arrangements before Shabbos? So are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? So yes, you can. The guy can be given a share in your Korban Pesach. And meniach taliso etzlo. Again, if you want to make sure that he doesn't forget to pay you. You want to make sure that he is going to pay up his share of the Korban Pesach. So again, you can give the garment to the person who is the owner of the Korban Pesach, and then you get your share, and the garment will be the collateral for that share. Venoto es bissel. Then he can take part. He can be one of the people that's nismana, that's appointed to that Korban Pesach. And then after the yontif is over, you make the cheshbon. You can't do it on yontif itself, but you make it after yontif, the first day of Chol HaMoed. You can go and make all the calculations. I owe you $10. I owe you $20. And the coat, the garment, is the reminder. Gemara starts off and says, Amalei Rava, Bar Rav Chanan li Abaye. Rava Bar Rav Chanan says to Abaye, Maishnoa hashileini umaishnoa haveni. The question that I already alluded to in the Mishnah and gave the answer for the Gemara, he asked them, what is the difference between this language of hashileini and the language of haveni? They both mean, can I borrow? So what's the difference in the two lashonos? So Abaye answers and he says, Omale, hashileini, if a person uses the language of can I please have this with the lashon of she'ela, it's not going to come to write it down, as Rashi said, because that's normally a short-term type of event. As Tosu says, this is a specific reminder that we're not going to write this down by using this language of Shoel. However, if you use the language of Alveni, which is the normal language that would be used, according to Tosos, and would lead to people writing it down, or according to Rashi, the idea that it's a longer-term loan, and people know when it's a longer-term loan, you better write it down, so then osil miktav will come to be written down, and this could lead chas v'shalom to a person writing by accident on Shabbos. So if we get it Shabbos, then I'll write it down. Gemara says, wait a second. V'ha kivon debechol zimnim deboi lemei marlei haveni v'amalei hashileini lo kobi lade. Says, people aren't so medactic on this lashon. Not everybody's a linguist. Not everybody is so careful to use this lashon of shoel or haveni during the weekdays. So a person might do a long-term loan with the lashon of Shoel, and he may do a short-term loan with the lashon of Milva, Halveni. So this isn't really very reliable for Asi L'michtav, and therefore, even on a weekday, people are going to come to write this down. If they use the lashon of Shoel, they're still going to write it down because people aren't makbid to use the lashon of Halveni. If this is a loan that they're concerned about, they're going to write it down. So then, why on Shabbos would it be any different? B'Shabbos Nami Asi L'michtav. This Shoel Halveni differential isn't really that good. People aren't makbid on a weekday, therefore they're not going to be so makbid on it on Shabbos, and it could lead Chas v'Shalom to a takola. How come the rabbis allowed you to do this? So Abaye says, no. Omale. Now, we have this in parentheses, the first part, but I think it's correct. You can read it. It's not wrong, but the critical point is from after the parentheses. We'll read the parentheses anyway. It says, Bechol, on a weekday, lo shno, it doesn't make any difference, ki omalei haveini, lo shno ki omalei hashileini, because lo kaptinon ilave. Because we don't really care on a weekday what your real choice of words are. While many people may say shol for a short term, like Rashi says, and use the lashon of haveini for a longer term, it's not so important. What's the nafkamina? There is no nafkamina, and therefore, v'asi lemichtav, people may come to write it down. It's not a big deal. However, b'Shabbos, kivin d'hashi leini, hu d'shor le'rabbanon. But on Shabbos, people are going to know this Mishnah. People are going to understand that only if you use the lashon of hashi leini is it going to be allowed. So therefore, they're going to be careful to use the lashon, kivin d'hashi leini, hu d'shor le'rabbanon. Haveni lo shor le, but if you use the lashon of haveni, they didn't allow this. So then this is going to be something that's recognizable. Minkara milsa, it's going to become recognizable. And people will not come to write it down. So the bedavka on Shabbos will be careful with the lashon. Even on a weekday, we're not careful with the lashon. But since the rabbis instituted over here this safeguard of saying use the lashon of shoel hashileini rather than the lashon of halveini, so therefore people will be careful below osi lemichtav, and you will not end up writing it down. Okay. So now this was a conversation that we had, a discussion, a question and answer between Rava bar Rav Chanan and Abaye. So the Gemara says, we'll give you a couple of other similar exchanges between these two Amoraim. That was a style, again, the Gemara will frequently do this, that when you have an unusual Amora, so it will give you a number of things that Amora said. So here we have this specific Amora, Rava bar Rav Chanan, in his discussions with Abaye, so we have more of them. So Gemara says, Amalei Rava bar Rav Chanan li Abaye. Another question that Rava bar Rav Chanan asked to Abaye, Mirti says, let's take a look. Amr Rabbanon, komile de yontif, any yontif activities, kamo de efshor l'shanuyah mishanina. You should always make some sort of a shinui on these yontif activities. That you're allowed to do them on yontif, but they could lead to a potential problem. So do them with some sort of a shinui to make sure that you don't go and do it incorrectly. So therefore, he says, you're supposed to do a shinui on certain yontif activities. How come, hani noshi, these women, the mayon chatzabayu maya, who when they go to fill up their buckets, their jugs of water from the river, how come we don't insist that they do some sort of a shinui? My time, alomi shaninon. Why don't we ask these women to go do a shinui? As Rashi brings down, we have a Gemara elsewhere that says, Hamevi kade yayin lo yivim basala b'kupa. We had this previously. A person shouldn't go and carry things in the normal way. Make a shinui to make sure that you don't forget and do something that's not allowed. So too, why don't we insist that these women, when they go putting the jugs of water on their head to carry them back from the river, why don't we insist that they make some sort of a shinui, which we don't insist that they do? That's the question that Rav Baruch Hanan asked Abaye, and Abaye says no. Mishum Dilo Efshi says the reason why we don't is because what type of shinui would we make? Whatever shinui would make would actually make things worse. Why? Hechli Yavit, what shinui are you suggesting that we should do? Demayon bechatzba rabba. If those women would normally fill it up with a larger type of a jug, they would take a big bucket and fill it up with, and now we're going to suggest make a shinoi, limalu b'chatzba zuta, now use a smaller jug. So they would take a 2-gallon jug normally, now we're telling them to take a quart jug. So in this situation, ha'kamaf shubilucha, okay, they still need 2 gallons worth of water. So now they have to go and make multiple trips. That's not much of a positive thing for Yontif, that instead of making one trip with one time a slightly heavier a jug or barrel, a bucket, so now they're going to take 10 trips? That's not good. They're going to do a lot of extra traveling, and that's not covered Yontif. So therefore, that's not a good idea. Okay, let's do it the other way. They normally would fill it up with a smaller jug, so now let them use a larger jug, limalu b'chatzla rabba, so then, again, you're not really helping out. You're making them carry a much heavier load. What type of oneg yantif is that? What type of a shinoi is that that is making it worse? We turn to Yomid Beis. Nifro suda. Let us say that you should go and spread out this sudra, this kerchief on the top of the bucket, and this would be the shinui that we're doing. So Gemara says, this sudra is a garment, and it's going to get contact with the water, and it's going to get wet, and osil deschita, you may come to squeeze it out. So that's not a good idea either. So Gemara says, let's do it the other way. Nichsaya ben nichtema. Let's go put a kisui, Rashi says. Go put a cover on top of his barrel, and that will be the shinui. That will remind us that it's yontif, and be very careful. Shmuel says, no. Zimnim de mifsach. You know what's going to happen when you're putting this lid on the barrel? Rashi explains, even the mitzvachas le kisui, since you have to put a lid on this jug, kotel le bekai. You're going to go and tie it on. Zimnim de mifsach, and then it's going to break. V'osi le miktere. And you're going to end up doing something here that's going to make it worse. So you're going to put it on with this lid, and then zimnim de mifsek v'yosilimikdere, as the Gemara says, it's going to break, and you're going to come to tie it. So that's even worse. So therefore, Abaye says, hilkach lo efsha. What shinui could we do? There is no shinui that we could do that would make things better. Actually, every shinui that we do would only make things worse. Therefore, the rabbi said, in this situation, there's no shinui possible, so that you don't need to do a shinui. There's technically nothing wrong. We're filling it up, and therefore, fill it up in the regular way. Another kasha of Omalei Rav Baruch Hanan Abaye, third kasha that Rav Baruch Hanan asked to Abaye, learned in a Mishnah in Beitz, the Tanan. Lo misafkin, a person is not allowed to. Now, the lashon that we have of misafkin, Rashi says, is kaf el kaf, to clap your hands together. And this was something that you weren't allowed to do because of avelus. That's what the Mishnah in Beis is talking about. So, lo misafkin, you're not allowed to clap your hands together. Lo metapchin, Rashi explains, metapchin means to bang your hand on your chest, al halev. And likewise, lo meraktin, you're not allowed to dance, be yontif. All of these things you're not allowed to do on yontif, because they're going to, rachmana litzlan, lead to doing other things that you're not allowed to do on yontif. Rashi explains from the Gemara in Beitza, Shema yisakin kleishir, because if we allow you to do these musical types of actions, clapping the hands, banging hands on your chest, or dancing, guess what? The guitar that you're listening to is going to break, and you're going to come to fix the string, and that would be a nisa daraisa. So therefore, because of this concept of Shema yisakin kleishir, you're not allowed to go and do this. Tosus brings down that, not like Rashi, he says, Im kain, my ear you be yontif. Afilu b'chol, b'chol amayit, nami yosser. Tosa says, then what does it have to do with yontif? The Mishnah in Beitza, as well as in other places, says you're not allowed to do this on yontif. Like it says in the Mor in Moed Katan, it says in the Mishnah over there, in the last parak, noshim b'moed, This is the famous series of Mishnayos that many people learn in the Beis Avel. So it says over there, Noshim b'moed, ma'anos, they're allowed to go and have these certain types of dirges on Chol HaMoed, avelo metapkos, but they're not allowed to clap their hands, they're not allowed to bang their hands on their chest. So therefore, Tosus explains that we're talking here about Shema Yisakin Klei Shir on Yontif. This is talking about because of the Simchas Yontif that you're having, Mishum Simcha, and therefore, that's why you're not allowed to do these things on Yontif. In any event, bottom line is, Rava Baruch Hanan says to Abaye, you see that you're not allowed to do this, nevertheless, and we see that people don't listen. Yet the rabbis don't tell them stop. So how come? Why don't the rabbis tell them to stop? So Gemara says, Abaye answers, and according to you, every situation when the people are doing something wrong, do we find that the rabbis protested? What about the following situation where Rava said, he taught us, we had this Gemara relatively recently, lo leisiv inish apuma de lechaya, a person should not sit, and he's in a mavu, your mavu is surrounded on three sides, and we said that technically that's a shusha yochid, but the rabbis instituted that you have to put in a lechi or a korah, either a vertical post or the horizontal beam across the edge of this alleyway in order to remind yourself that you're not allowed to cross this and not allowed to carry from inside the Mavi to outside the Mavi, which is a Rosh Hashanah. And if a person did that, he'd be carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, he'd be over Nisa Deraisa. So therefore, they put up this hecker, this lechi or this Mavi over here. And the only way you're allowed to carry is if you have the lechi or the Mavi. Even though you're Deraisa, you'll be allowed to carry in there anyway. So the rabbi said, do not sit, Rava said, lo leisev inish apuma de lechaya, do not sit right by the edge of this alleyway where it goes into the Sarabim, right by the lechi, don't sit over there. Why? Because dilma migander lechefetz, you may end up holding on to something that's going to roll away from you. Let's say you have a book, and the book is going to, they had scrolls, and the scroll is going to roll away from you, and you're going to go and not realize that you just crossed the threshold going from the Mavu into the Sarabim, vasilasuya, and going to go and get it, and you're going to bring it back from the Sarabim into the Sarabim. And in this way, you're going to be over in Issa Deraisa. And yet, we still see Vokoch Hazinon, and the Bached's the words over here, Vokoch Hazinon Noshi. We see that these women that we were talking about, now instead that's instead of Noshi, it's instead of the word Nami, according to the Gears of the Bach, the Mosve Chatzve, that they are carrying their barrels here in this situation, the jugs on their heads, let's say. The Yosef Apum the Mavu, they put him down and they put him right by the edge of the where the Mavu meets the Rishus HaRabim, and Velo Amrinan Lu Velo Midin, and the rabbis don't say anything. So you see that Rava says you're not allowed to do this, and yet the rabbis didn't say anything about the women that did this. So how come? As an aside, what was wrong with the first situation? Why do we have to say Ulu Taimech? Why did Abaye say Ulu Taimech? He said, why didn't you just answer from this situation of the Lomit Sapkin, the Lomit Tabkin, the same answer he's going to give right now? So the answer that the Mefarshim gave, I saw this in the Ritva, is that the case of the Lo Misafkin, Lo Mitapkin, one might have argued the reason why the rabbis didn't speak up, Lo Amrin, Lo Vlo Midi, is because who knows how to fix a guitar nowadays? Who knows how to fix a piano nowadays? And that's why, in fact, some suggest that you are allowed to go and dance on Yontif today. Because what's the problem? What's the concern? That you may come to fix the kli, Shema Yisakin Kli Shir. Nobody knows how to do it anyway. You need a professional piano fixer to go and fix your piano. You need a professional guitar stringer to go and put the strings back on your guitar. You just got to tie the strings together. So therefore, some suggest that maybe that doesn't apply today. And maybe you could argue that's why Abaye didn't give that case. But therefore, this case with the buckets by the Mavoi, that applies to everybody. That applies even nowadays. And therefore, that's why he gave Badafka this answer. So what's the answer? Elohanach Yisro. Abaye says, leave the Jewish people alone. Mutav shu shogin vayu mezidin. We have a famous principle throughout Shas that if a person has to give tochacha, they should give tochacha. But don't give tochacha sometimes because if the tochacha will not be listened to, so you're actually doing them a disfavor. Before they were doing something by accident, and now they're doing something on purpose. So we have this rule, mutav shu shogin. It's better sometimes that they not be told don't do this if they're not going to listen. If the person knows in his mind, that even if he tells them not to do this, they're not going to believe him, they're not going to listen to him, and they end up doing it amazing. So it's much better, mutash yushogin, they should do this when they're doing this as a unintentional, a accidental type of transgression, rather than doing it as a mimezid, an intentional type of a transgression, which is far worse. So that's what Abaye answers. don't be surprised that the rabbis don't mention anything about the women, Mesapkin or Metapkin, or putting something, sitting right by the edge of the Mavoi, because people aren't going to listen, unfortunately. And in a situation where people won't listen, it is better that you do nothing. Sometimes there's a chiyuv to tell tochacha, and sometimes the Gemara tells us there's a chiyuv not to tell tochacha, and this would be that situation. So Gemara wants to say, so therefore, sover mina, let us learn from this, hani mili, that only this is by din derabanan. These cases over here, lo mesavkin, and leitzavini shapuma lechaya, are all cases of a derabanan. When they're clapping their hands, or they're sitting by the edge of the mavoi, they're going against the din derabanan. There's no issa to clap your hands, there is no issa to sit by the edge of the mavoi. However, I would have thought, avu b'daraisa lo, if it comes to a din deraisa, no, then you have to give tochacha, and you don't apply this rule of mutar shushogin. You say, tough luck, this is the din deraisa, you need to know. And if you're going to do it b'mezid, that's your problem. So Gemara says, no, v'lohi, that's actually not correct. Lo shno v'derabonon, lo shno v'deraisa. This principle of mutar shushogin, v'ayu mezidim, applies even by a din deraisa. Daha, I'll show you why. Tosefes yom kippurim deraisi. Because the din of adding on extra time to Yom Kippur, making sure that you, let's say the fast starts at 8 o'clock, that you don't start the fast at 8 o'clock, you start it at 7:55. You add on additional time to Yom Kippur at the front end, and at the back end, Dr. Tosefes Yom Kippurim, Doraisi, so there is this biblical requirement for you to add on a little bit of time to Yom Kippur, called Tosefes Yom Kippurim, and nevertheless we see, we see that the rabbis did not say anything, even though people were eating and drinking right up to 8 o'clock, they were drinking 7:59, they were still drinking, and nevertheless, the rabbis didn't say anything. So we see that this principle of Mutav Shushokim, Ayu Mezidin, applies not only to the Rabbanans, but even to the Raises. So are there any Gedorim to this? So the Mepharshim bring down, yeah, there are some Gedorim to this. Something that is Beferish in the Torah, something that says, you're not allowed to steal. So it says Beferish in the Torah. So there we don't say Mutav Shushokim. We assume that everybody knows what's Beferish in the Torah. And therefore, in these situations, it says, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So people know. That's a din Torah. And therefore, something that's beferish in the Torah, we don't apply this principle of mutav shushokin. However, it's interesting, some of the modern-day poskim from our generation, the previous generation, say that nowadays, even things that are beferish written in the Torah, they may not be known. There's so many people in Nebuch that don't even know a beferish pasuk in the Torah. They think it's just a good idea not to steal, but under the appropriate circumstances, you know, in business, you're allowed to steal. There are people that don't realize, Chil Shabbos, they say, yeah, this day of rest, so I'm resting, I'm going to the beach, I got in my car and I went to the beach, I'm resting. So they don't understand even the things that are beferish in the Torah. So they're poskim to say that nowadays, this concept of mutav shushogin applies to everything, and if they're not going to listen to you, it really is better that they be shogeg rather than doing the issa b'mezid. Okay, now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, "V'chein isha mechaverta kikoros." So the Mishnah had said that a woman is allowed to go and borrow a loaf of bread from her friend. Now, that implies that you're only allowed to do this if you say the lashon of shoel, but not if you use the lashon of halveni. So b'shabbos with the also the Gemara says, "Avo b'chol shabbatami." So the Gemara questions this whole idea of borrowing a loaf of bread. It says from our Mishnah that if you're using the lashon of shoel, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. But the implication is that on Shabbos it would only be also to use the Lashon of Haveni, but on a weekday, no problem at all, use the Lashon of Haveni. So Gemara says, Lema Mastis and Dolke Hillel. Our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of Hillel. Now this is Halacha in Hilchus Ribbis. It's not, because we learned in the Mishnah, the Chein Hoya Hillel, Omer Hillel said, Lo Talva Isha Kiko Lechaverta, Ad Shetasena Domim. There is a problem over here in borrowing a loaf of bread from your neighbor and paying them back with a loaf of bread a week later. Because the problem is, Shema Yukru Chitin. Because unless you say, this is worth a dollar right now, so I'm borrowing a dollar from you, and therefore, when I return this loaf of bread to you a week from now, I'll return to you a dollar loaf of bread and not more, because if you return more, there's a potential ribishayla, so we have to be concerned. Shema Yukru Chitin. When I borrowed it from you, it was 99 cents for the loaf of bread. When I returned it to you, it was $1.19 for the loaf of bread. So therefore, I gave you an extra 20 cents. That's called ribis. So even though it may not be ribis daraisa, it certainly would be ribis darabanan. So Shema Yukru Chitin. Because maybe the wheat went up in price, v'nimtzu bo's lidei ribis, and as a result, they borrowed something for 99 cents and they returned it for $1.19. So how can you tell me you're allowed to do this on Shabbos with the lashon of shoel, but on a weekday you can do even use the lashon of halveini? You're not allowed to do it on a weekday either. So our Mishnah isn't in accord with Beis Hillel, because our Mishnah says you can, and Beis Hillel says you can't. Gemara says, no, not so fast. Afilu Tema Hillel. Our Mishnah can even be in accord with Hillel. We passing like Hillel. So therefore, one should be very careful with his din. So how come our Mishnah says you're allowed to? So Gemara says, Ha be'asra the kids dame. It depends. Government regulates the price of a loaf of bread. So every loaf of bread is 99 cents. So then, no problem in borrowing a loaf of bread now and returning a loaf of bread later on. There's a set price for the bread. And therefore, you're returning the exact same thing that you got. And therefore, there is no ribus concern. But when the price of bread fluctuates, so you're right, then it is a concern. And wouldn't be allowed to do this. And you can't borrow a loaf of bread unless you say, yeah, this one is worth 99 cents, and I'll return you a loaf of bread that's worth 99 cents, or I'll give you, 9/10 of a loaf of bread, and therefore you'll get 99 cents rather than the $1.19, and there won't be a ribbish shaila. Halacha l'maisa, practically, women should not be makbid with each other when they borrow something. They shouldn't be saying, I will give you back, I borrow a cup of coffee. So they shouldn't be medaktik that I'll give you back a cup of coffee. They should be basically mevater and say, yeah, it's not a loan. It's sure, you can have it. I'm not doing this as a loan to get around this concern of this ribis dirabon. Then the Mishnah says, v'meinu mamino, what happens if the person in this situation doesn't trust you? So we said you can give them your garment, you give them your coat, your cloak, and this way that will serve like it's a collateral to remind you of this loan that was made. Gemara starts off and said, Itmar Havas Yontif, when you make a loan on Yontif, what are the dinim of such a loan? Havas Yontif, Rav Yosef Amar, Lo Nitno Litova, you're not allowed to go and get this back in court. A loan that you give on Yontif is not going to be something that you're able to get back in court. As Rashi explains, you won't be able to go and claim this be Beis Din. Shame Beis Din is skokin loliola. Beis Din doesn't get involved with loans made on Yontif. That's the opinion of Yosef. Rabba, my Rabba disagrees. Rabba says, no, such loans are nitno litova. Of course you can go claim them in Beis Din. Now, what's the understanding of this machlokis? Rav Yosef Amar Lo Nitno Litova. Rav Yosef says that a loan made on Yontif is not going to be able to be taken to court. You can't litigate such a loan. The Amris Nitno Litova. Because if we say, yes, you can go and litigate such a loan, you know what? Person's going to want a proof. So also Lemiltav, he's going to come to write it down. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, that's it. Any loan on Yontif cannot be gotten back in court. Therefore, there'll be no incentive for the person to write it down. He either trusts the guy, he doesn't trust the guy. Writing it down won't make any difference, because what are you going to do? Oh, I approve that you took the loan from me, but you can't take it to court. So what difference does it make that you have proof? So either you trust the guy, you don't trust the guy. That's your decision, but you can't go and claim it in court. And therefore, there'll be no incentive to write it down. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabba disagrees. Rabba Mart Nidali Tava, of course you can go get back these loans in court. You may come to write it down. He's not concerned about that. He says, Diamris Lo Nidna. He says, if you don't allow them to go and collect such a debt in court, you know what? The guy's going to say, listen, sorry, buddy, I'm not lending you money. Lo Yavle, I can't collect this in court, so then I'm throwing away $100 by giving you $100 right now. I can't ever get it back. I'm not giving it to you. And therefore, Va'asi Liim Nuye Misimchas Yontif is going to lead to a lack of Simchas Yontif. The poor people are not going to have anything to eat on Yontif. Nobody's going to wish to lend them money. So therefore, it can be collected in court, and we're not concerned that you'll write it down. We're more concerned that it will be Monea Simchas Yontif. Where it says, our Mishnah seems to answer this question, Tanan. In Ein O Mamino, if you don't trust the person, so Meniach Taliso Etzlo, so you give him your garment as a collateral. Now, Iyamis Bishlomo Lo Nitna Litova, if you say that Rav Yosef is correct, that you can't go and collect this in court, Mishum Hachi, Meniach Taliso Etzlo, it's not going to be collectible in court, and that's why we say, here's the collateral, because if the guy either forgets about the loan or denies the loan, well, at least you have his cloak. So you got your payment, so to say. And then, after Shabbos, if the guy denies it, so you keep the coat. If not, he says, hey, you want your coat back, so let's pay me back the money that I lent you for the wine or the oil that I lent you, the share in the carbon passive that I gave you, so you'll come to pay me back. Therefore, it's not tovei in court, because I have this alternative method, and therefore I'm good. So Rav Yosef is correct. But if you say you could go to court, so then, Amai Maniach Taliso Etzlo. So what does this collateral do? You're going to go take him to court. Litein Lei, give him whatever he asks for on Yontif, Velitbe, and then take him to court. Do it in front of witnesses. Do it in a way that you'll be able to go take him to court. So our Mishnah seems to suggest that you can't take the guy to court. So Raya to Rav Yosef, Kash on Rabbah. So the Gemara says, no. Omar, you know what Rabbah would say? This person says, Lo Bo'inon Deleikum Bedina V'dayana. you're right, I could take him to court, but who wants to be bothered with a schlepping to court with all the paperwork you have to fill out and the time off from work that you have to go to court? He says, I just don't want to be involved in a litigation. So therefore, I don't want to be involved with Dina v'dayana. I don't have anything to do with his Din Torah. I don't have anything to do with Dayanim. And therefore, I took the cloak. But technically, certainly, it could be Nitno Litova. So you can't bring me a riot from our Mishnah. Try again. Moser Rabbi Yehuda bar Rava, and Rabbi Yehuda bar Rava has the following shaila from the Mishnah in Shvius. Now, this is a din we're all familiar with of Shemitah, when the Shvius year comes along. So it's Mishametes, it gets rid of any financial debts. Again, there are a lot of caveats, a lot of rules to this, but in general, the person in Reuven owes Shimon money, so when the Shemitah comes around, so that loan is forgiven. Again, there are a lot of rules about this. We're not going to go into all the details right now, but that's the basic thing. So here we have Mosif Ravidi Barav, and he asks the Shaila from this Mishnah in Shvius, which says, Hashochet is HaPara on Rosh Hashanah. Now, this is talking about at the end of the Shemitah year. So then when you go into Rosh Hashanah, any prior outstanding debts are Mishametis. They're going to be removed and forgotten about. So Hashochet is HaPara, if somebody shechts a cow on Rosh Hashanah and he has partners in this cow, the chilk of Rosh Hashanah, and he divides up the food of the cow on Rosh Hashanah. Now this would be after the Shemitah year. This is talking about in the previous year with Shemitah, and now it's the conclusion of the Shemitah year with Rosh Hashanah coming. So Ima Yachodesh Mubar, Rosh Hashanah is always 2 days. So it's not so much Sveika de Yoma, it's just that we didn't know if the Eidim would come or not, so we held 2 days. And it's Kedusha Richta, it's like one long Kedusha. So Imaya Chodesh Mubar, if in fact the first day of Rosh Hashanah the Eidim didn't come, so then the first day of Rosh Hashanah, while we celebrated it as Rosh Hashanah, it really was the 30th day of Elul. So it belonged to the previous year. So Imaya Chodesh Mubar, if it was a full month, in other words, this was really the 30th day of Elul when you shechted this cow and you divided it up. So Mishamet, so now Shemitah comes on the second day of Rosh Hashanah and would remove any debts that you had. So the people that were partners in this cow could say to you, sorry buddy, I don't have to pay you if I don't want to, if the Shemitah is Mishametes. V'im lav, however, if Rosh Hashanah really was the first day, so then you shechted it on the first day of the new year, it's after the Shemitah is over, and this is a new debt, and therefore this debt is eno mishami. It still is applicable, and the people, the partners, have to go pay you. Now, here's the Shaila, the Rav Yehuda bar Rava says to Rav Yosef, who says that it's lo nitno litova, that deals on Yontif cannot be taken to court. So he says, v'ilo nitno litova, if Rav Yosef is right, so then my mishami. So then what's it mishami? You're telling me that it occurred on Yontif, but you can't take him to court. So how do you have the whole concept of Mishamit or not Mishamit? You don't need Shemit over here. The fact that it's Yontif is Lognitna Litova. So he says, no. Shiny Hossam, this is different. Because the Gloy Milsa, the Cholu. Here, you know what we're talking about? The obligation of the partners over here, it was now retroactively clear that this was on a weekday and it wasn't on Yontif. So that's why this isn't the din of Litova or not Litova. The first day of Rosh Hashanah was the 30th day of Elul, which is a weekday, and therefore it wasn't on Yontif, and therefore it could be Litova. That's why you have to tell me it's Mishamet. Where it says, try again. Toshma Misefa. Keep on reading that Mishnah. Im lav, eno Mishamet. But we said in the second part of the Mishnah that if it was the first day of Rosh Hashanah was, in fact, Rosh Hashanah. It was not the 30th day of Elul, but it was the first day of Tishrei. So then, Eino Mishame. Then the deal is not Mishame. This is a brand new debt in the new year after the Shemitah year. And, of course, the Shemitah isn't Mishame because it's not yet Shemitah. Now, Iyamis Mishlom Nitno Litova. If you hold like Rabbah that you can go collect this in a Din Torah, oh, Hainu Diktani, Eino Mishame. That's why you need to tell me that it's not Mishame. But if you hold like Rabbi Yosef, Eli Yamis Lo Nitno Litova, so then am I Eino Mishame? Then why are you telling me it's not Mishame? It's not able to be collected on Yontif. It's Yontif. So therefore, what are you telling me? Mishame, not Mishame, again, has nothing to do with anything because you can't go take it to court. Someone says, no, we're talking about the Yavle. If this person wishes to pay you, shokel, you're allowed to take it. Granted, it's Ein Litova, but if the guy wants to pay you, then you're allowed to take the money. That's the Chiddush over here, Ein Mishame. It has nothing to do with court. It just means that in this situation, while the guy is not obligated to pay you, if he wishes to pay you, you're allowed to go and take it from him. Moore says, wait a second, that means Maklal D'Reisha in the first part of the Mishnah, where it said that if it was the 30th day of Adar, that in fact it would be Mishameh, so Iyoyevle, lo shakil, if he wants to give it to you, you're not allowed to take it. The bottom line is, you are allowed to take it. It has nothing to do with, again, Litova. Why can't you take it? So Gemara says, no, Reisha, the difference is that in the Reisha, when it would be Meshamit, the Shemitah, really was the 30th day of Elul, when you did the partnership, and therefore, technically, now it's Rosh Hashanah after the Shemitah year, that is technically canceled. The partners wouldn't have to pay you for their share in the cow. So in that situation, Sorach Lememer Le Meshamatini, the person who owned the cow, technically has to tell all the other people, you don't have to pay me. The Shemitah was Meshamit, and therefore, if they wish to pay him, they're allowed to, but the ratio would be that he has to tell him, Meshamitani, I'm forgiving you the loan. But the Sefer, when there is no din of Shemitah over here, because it's the first day of the new year, so in that situation, there is no Shemitah canceling the debt. So, Lo Tzorach Lemeir Le Meshamitani, he doesn't have to tell him, I'm Meshamit, because there is no din of Shemitah in this situation. Kiditnan. And this was a Mishnah that we'd also learned in Shvius. And that I already alluded to was as follows. Hamasicho b'Shvius, if a person does want to pay back his Shvius debt, you're allowed to. In fact, the Gemara tells us that you should pay back your Shemitah debt. You shouldn't go and just say, hey, ha-ha, Shemitah's here, I don't have to pay you back. Shemitah's over, and the debt is Meshamit. So, Yomalo Meshamitini, the person who is supposed to collect the debt, he should tell the person who owes him the money, listen, Shemitah came, I forgive you. However, Yomalo Afapike, but, and this is the right thing to do, if the person who owes the money says, nevertheless, I want to give you the money, Yikabimenu, that's it. He accomplished what he had to do. The person was Meshamit, the person was owed the money too. He said, you don't have to pay me back. And the person that owed him the money said, nevertheless, I want to pay you back. So then you kabbal b'menu. So the person who is to receive the money is allowed to accept it. And this is based upon the pasuk, Mishum Shenemar, v'zeh dvar ha-shmita. It tells us it has to be dvar ha-shmita. There has to be this conversation that he says, no, you don't have to pay me back. But if the person who owes the money says, no, I insist, you were so nice to me, you lent me the money, I want to pay you back, so future people will be very quick to go and lend money, even though they know that the Shemitah will come and be Mishamates, but they know that people are honest and that they can pay back, they want to pay back, so then that's Dvar HaShemitah, you accomplished what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, and this is perfectly allowed. So therefore, we can't bring any Raya from the Shemitah cases to all Machlokas. What did people do in order to make sure that they would be able to collect the debts that were done on Yom Tov? According to the opinion, it says you can't go litova. So Rav Avyo shokol mashkona. Rav Avyo, when he would lend something to somebody on Yom Tov, would go take a collateral. He would take a mashkon. Rabba Barula marim yarume. He would make some sort of a trick. What would he do? So Rashi explains. He would go take something after Yom Tov and say, if you want this back, then you have to pay me back my loan. Rabbeinu Chananel says that he would do this in a way, he would say, can you lend me something? So he would then get something from the other person. And then when the other person would ask, can he have the item that he had lent them back? He says, well, I'll let you keep the item that I gave you on Yontif instead of me returning this item that I borrowed from you, Matzah Yontif. In any event, that's what they would do. Then the Mishnah states, V'chein Erev Pesach, we said the same halacha applies in Erev Pesach, when a person didn't make a shear, Erev Pesach Cholios B'Shabbos, and he didn't purchase a shear in the Korban Pesach, so you can do that on Yom Tov as well. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said, Maktish Adam Piskel B'Shabbos. Let's say a person wasn't Maktish as Korban Pesach before Erev Pesach Cholios B'Shabbos, so normally you're allowed to be Maktish something on Shabbos, but here you're allowed to. And likewise, V'chagigaso B'Yom Tov. If you didn't yet be Makadish your Korban Chagigah, which you're obligated to bring on the first day of Yom Tov, then you'll have to be makdish it on the first day of Yontif. So the normal rules that you're not makdish something on Shabbos or Yontif don't apply when you have no choice, basically. That's what the Gemara is going to conclude. So Gemara says, name of Messiah, let's bring a riot to Rav Yochanan from the following. Our Mishnah, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, your dalit is Shabbos, so then, maniach teliso, it's a little guy who wants to take a share in your Korban Pesach, so he gives you his collateral, his garment, and this way, v'notelis bisco, and gets a share in the Korban Pesach. And after Yontif, you make the cheshbon as we said. So what do you see? That this person gets a share in the Korban Pesach on Yontif. So it's so to say he's like makdish the Korban Pesach on Yontif, on Shabbos. So this is a proof to this idea that you're allowed to. Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. We're talking on a case in our Mishnah. The Korban Pesach was already mekudosh. And now he's just adding additional people onto to be mismana, to be included in this Korban Pesach. But the Meyakora, Mikdash V'Koy, the Korban Pesach is already hooked from beforehand, and therefore you can't bring me a raya that you're allowed to be Makadish at L'chachila. Or it says, not so fast, why not? It's not. Ain't Nimnin B'Abehema B'Tchila B'Yontif, but we said that you're not allowed to go be included in this on Yontif. You can't go and be included in a share of a behemoth on Yontif. You should have done this before Yontif. So we see that you're not allowed to go and do this on Shabbos or Yontif. Shmuel says, shiny hacha. Here it's different. Given the rogel, it's low. We're talking here about a person who, for the last 10 years, has been part of his Korban Pesach. And just this year, he didn't get a chance to go say, please include me in the Korban Pesach before Yontif, before Shabbos started. But the person knows, listen, for the last 10 years, you've been a guest at my Seder. So you always were included in my Korban Pesach, even though you didn't come. I know you're around. I know you're going to come. So I already had in mind before Yontif, before Shabbos started, to include you in the Korban Pesach, given the regular, so since you're a regular member of my Korban Pesach, therefore it's not a problem. Keman de imne be me koradomi. So it's as if you're included in my Korban Pesach beforehand, and you didn't go over that which we learned in the Mishnah in Beitza that says, e nimnim al habehema betrila biyantiv. Now the Gemara questions this. Tony Rav Shai learned in the following braisa. A person is allowed to go to the person, the shepherd that they're talking about here is the person who also would sell them the animals. And he would go to this shepherd, the person who he would normally get meat from, and that shepherd would be able to go and give him a Korban Pesach, which it looks like umak dish viotzibo, and he would take this on Erev Pesach Chol Yos B'Shabbos, and go and make it into a Korban Pesach. Now here, it wasn't already Hukdash, as we said beforehand, the Meikor Mikdash Rukoi, and the situation when you're just becoming a partner onto it, it was already a Korban Pesach. Here, it looks like the shepherd was giving him a Chulindika animal, and Rav Shai brings down this Brisa that says he was allowed to be Makdash it, none, even though it's on Shabbos. So how are you allowed to do so? You're not allowed to be Makdash on Shabbos. So when it says, Hosam Nami, no. This shepherd and this person, they had a long-standing business relationship. For the last 10 years, he's been always going to him for his Korban Pesach. So the shepherd, the one who sells these korbanos, he assumed, Hasum Nami, Kivin the Rogelet Slow, this guy comes every year, Akdushi Makdish Lemi Yikara. He was already Makdish before Shabbos. So therefore, when the person comes to go and get his Korban Pesach, it already was Hukdash. So therefore, there is no Makdish action that's taking place on Shabbos or on Yontif. That's not what the Brisa says. If you read the Brisa carefully, it says, Nosin lo tle le pischo umakdisho viyotzibo. The person who then gets the tle is makdishit. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Hektish ilui midrabon. He was makdishit himself, so to say, again. This was only a din drabonin that he should bedafka go and be makdishit himself. But it already had the real Kedusha daraisa from the shepherd himself. The person who owned this animal beforehand was already makdishit for him. And now when he takes it, so he does this hekdish midrabanan. He says, Beferish, I'm being makr of this carbon over here. As Rashi says, Mala ba'alma, just a very nice thing to do. She yikdishu ba'alam, the ba'alam themselves should go and say this. So far, we reconciled all the answers, but we only have one problem. Rav Yochanan was one that said this din originally. Rav Yochanan was one that said, I'm Rav Yochanan makdish odem pischo b'shabbos v'chigoso b'yontif. But the Gemara now questions, did he really hold like that? Umi Rav Yochanan Chachi, did Rav Yochanan really hold like that? Because after all, we have throughout Shas the famous rule of Amar Rav Yochanan. He was the one that said throughout Shas, Halacha ki stam mishnah. We always pass it like a stam mishnah. And here we have a stam mishnah that says as follows. This is stam mishnah Beitza, and it says, Utznan, lo makdishin v'lo marichim v'lo machrimim. On Shabbos or Yontif, you're not allowed to go and be makdish something. You're not allowed to do erich yolai, erich acholai. You're not allowed to do an erich, and you're not allowed to do a cherim. You can't do any of these things on Shabbos and Yontif. A cherim is either machlokis, whether you're doing this to dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash, or you're dedicating it to the Kohanim. Likewise, v'lo magbiyin trumus and maisus. You're not allowed to go take off trumus and maisus on Shabbos or Yontif. Now, it said in this Mishnah and Beitza, you're not allowed to do this on Yontif, and of course, if you can't do it on Yontif, you can't do it on Shabbos. So, how could Rav Yochanan have told us that, in fact, you're allowed to be makdish your Pesach on Shabbos or your Chagiga on Yontif? Shmuel says, lo kasha, it's not a problem. Kan b'chovu shekavul en zman, kan b'chovu she'enkavul en zman. There's no steer over here. This Mishnah in Beitza that says you're not allowed to do anything, so Rav Yochanan agrees with that 100%. He passes like a stam Mishnah. But that's talking about when it wasn't obligatory for that day. It was a general thing. I'm going to make a carbon, so don't do that on Shabbos or Yomtif. When you're not obligated to, you just want to donate something that's not time-dependent, that has to be brought right then and there. So then you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos and Yomtif. You can't do a hektish, you can't do a erech, you can't do a cherim, you can't make up trumas and maisos. However, when Rav Yochanan said, you're allowed to be makdish, you're carbon Pesach on Erev Pesach Chol Yosef Shabbos. That's, you have no choice. When you didn't do it, you have no choice. So that's a chov, and it's time dependent. So in this situation, even Rav Yochanan says that you're allowed to. It's not a stira to the Stam Mishnah. You're allowed to go and do this. This is a good break point at the new Mishnah, so we'll stop the share today over here.